Well, I have a hankering to see what's in the Word today. Amen. So you want to hanker with me? Go ahead and open up to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Going to read a profound truth because it's in the Bible. See, if it's in the Bible, it's a profound truth, regardless of what you might think. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, look at this. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Now, the part we're just going to look at right here, kind of in the middle, where it says that it was impossible for God to lie. Well, it was impossible, but it still is. It is impossible for God to lie. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Now, do you believe that?
Yeah.
It's impossible for God to lie. Impossible. Turn over to Titus. Titus chapter 1. Look at another one. In Titus chapter 1, one verse, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. All right, now we have two verses in the Bible. One of these verses says it's impossible for God to lie, and the other verse says that God cannot lie. Now, do you believe that? Well, okay, then I would ask this question. Does your life reflect the fact that you just said you believe that God cannot lie? Does your life reflect the fact that you just admitted, you confessed, that you believe it's impossible for God to lie? Does your life reflect that? Now, you know what? Everybody out there with your poker faces, I am not even going to blink right now, Brother Martin. What do you think the answer to that question is for all other Christians but you? Think about that. See, if God can't lie, if it is impossible for Him to lie, then that means what we see in the Word has to be true. Of course, that naturally is predicated upon the belief that you accept the Bible as being from God. But then if you don't accept the Bible as being from God, then how can you believe that it's impossible for God to lie because those words are in the Bible? With me? Okay, now, the Bible is from God. It is God's Word. And the Bible says it's impossible for God to lie. And the Bible says that God cannot lie. Therefore, based upon those two verses, we can establish that everything in the Bible must be true. This is simple stuff, you know what I'm saying? But it's also very heavy stuff, because if we go back to the question, does our life, each of us, can we say that our life reflects the fact that we believe God cannot lie? Well, let's look at some things. Turn over to Mark chapter 16. You know, what I've covered so far in this sermon is devastating to a lot of theology. You say, well, how's that, Brother Martin? Well, because if we say that God cannot lie, I hope you get a hold of this. If we say that God cannot lie and that it is impossible for God to lie, then we cannot turn around and say that something in Scripture directed toward Christians has passed away. You can't. And you cannot say that something in Scripture directed toward Christians is not for you. Because if you're going to say that you believe God cannot lie, and that it's impossible for Him to lie, and that every word in the Bible is true, that means you have now put yourself in a position of either accepting or rejecting what God has said. And if you reject what God has said, then what you are doing is rejecting pure truth. Because if God cannot lie, then what He says is pure truth. Therefore, if you reject pure truth, what you're doing is trading truth for a lie. And the lie would say something like, this thing here, yes, we read it in the Bible, but it's not for today. You now are telling God he's a liar. Didn't Jesus say heaven and earth will pass, word won't pass? Didn't God say he never changes? Doesn't God say that Jesus, the same yesterday, today, forever? I mean, all these things are in there. So then if we believe this, and we say that God cannot lie, and we declare absolutely God cannot lie, and this book is true, then we can't go back and take things out of the book and say it doesn't apply to me. It's not for the body of Christ today. That's why I said, you know, we're 5 minutes into this message and already we have really messed up a lot of theology that's out there simply because of these two little verses right here that God cannot and it's impossible. Now, in Mark chapter 16, let's look at two verses. Verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, did these words come from God? No, Brother Martin, they came from Jesus. Okay. Well, who's Jesus? So anyway, did these words come from God?
Yeah.
Now, can God lie?
No.
So, what then have we discovered about these two verses? These signs shall follow them that believe in my name, they shall cast out devils. That means devil casting out is still going on. What else? They shall speak with, no, let's not go there. Anybody have white out? We definitely don't want to get into this they shall speak with new tongues thing. Because that just really messes up even more theology. After all, those who are, you know, scripturally intellectual know that that kind of a thing, it's no longer for today. In spite of the fact that God never changes and he's the same yesterday, etc., so on forever. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Okay, now, for this message, let's not even think about the serpent thing, okay? Let's just talk about the casting out devils, the tongues, and especially this last one, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, a few moments ago, you said that you are convinced that God cannot lie. And that you truly believe it's impossible for him to lie. Therefore, if you truly believe this, then your life should be reflecting what we just read here. Should it not? See, when you get into these kind of things, what I'm sharing with you today, this kind of truth, this kind of, call it revelation, whatever you want, when you start getting into this, it makes it very difficult to hold on to a whole lot of traditions, because then you are confronted eyeball to eyeball with you either believe it or you don't. And if you don't, then you're going to have to explain what is your foundation? What are you believing? What are you accepting as being truth? So therefore, God cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. We believe that. We have said we believe that and we accept that. Then we get to this right here, Mark 16. 17 and 18. Do we believe it? Oh, yes, Brother Martin. Absolutely. Why? I surely believe it. Are you sure you believe it? Oh, yeah, Brother Martin, I believe it. I believe it. Absolutely, I believe it. Rock solid. I'm there with you, Brother Martin. Okay. Let's take it a step further. Turn over to John chapter 14. And in John chapter 14, one verse. Verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Let's not even get into the second half of this verse, okay? Let's just stay at the first half. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. Now, what was it he said back over there in Mark? These signs shall follow them that believe, correct? Now he says over here in Mark or John chapter 14, verse 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. The works that I do shall he do also. The works that I do shall he do also." Now you said God can't lie. You agreed with me. When we read it in the Bible, God cannot lie. And you also agreed with me that it's impossible for God to lie. We were all in agreement in this, all right? Now, first off, we stopped over there in Mark, and we saw that if we believe, these signs will follow. Now we've jumped over here into John, and we see if we believe, we do the works. How many of you, you read it with me, right? You saw this? Okay, now, do you believe that? Absolutely, Brother Martin. Absolutely. I believe it. Are you sure? Yes, Brother Martin. I'm right there with you. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, I believe it. All right, let's go back to the first question we asked a few minutes ago. Is your life reflecting the fact you believe it? Can we see Mark 16 in your life and can we see John 14 in your life? What we've read. Can we see this? Well, Brother Martin, I just got born again 3 days ago. Okay, then you sit in the just got born again section. Now let's talk about all us old folks. Been in this thing for years. You know how some of them talk? Well, I've been in Pentecost all my life. Okay. I got a feeling, though, you just hung yourself. Because if you've been in this thing all your life, is your life reflecting it? Is it? Can we say, those of us born again, Spirit-filled, for how many years now, how much of our life is reflecting Mark 16 and John 12, or John 14? How much of our life is reflecting that? We said God can't lie, that it's impossible for Him to lie. If that is true, which obviously it must be because it came from the Bible, then this right here, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Doesn't matter what we say, what we preach. The bottom line is God cannot lie. Therefore, this is a truth that is going to stand no matter what. So now the question again is our life reflecting it? But do we really believe it? Really, do we believe it? Now let's kind of different perspective. Do we believe? We say, yeah, we believe it. But when we say we believe it, are we saying that we believe it from the position of, I believe that is true for the body of Christ? Or are we saying, I believe that is true for me regardless of the body of Christ? In other words, regardless of what anybody else does who is a Christian, filled with the Holy Ghost and all that, I believe this is true for me. For me. So what you believe is totally up to you, but for me, I know that over there in Mark 16 and here in John 14, this is me, right here. That's my truth. I believe that. Let's go somewhere else. Turn over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. One verse, verse 18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We beholding, like looking into a glass or a mirror, beholding the glory of the Lord, are changed into... Now what kind of image? The same image. Changed into the same image. Changed into the same image. Now let's see a companion verse to this. Different words, but a companion verse. Similar message. 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. Remember, it's impossible for God to lie and God cannot lie. Therefore, based on these two additional verses that we have added, There is, by declaration of God, a state of existence for all Christians. That state of existence is this. We have the potential to change into the exact same image as Jesus Christ. And that, as He is, as He eternally exists, so are we in this world. Now think of what this is saying. Remember, God can't lie. It's impossible for God to lie. Think about what this is saying. What it is saying is this. We're eliminating the concept of deity, okay? Because no matter what you do, no matter how hard you try, you are never going to become deity, never become the fourth person of the Godhead. It will not happen. But beyond that, what this is saying is that we have the potential to go from where we are into becoming an exact reflection or replica of Jesus Christ Himself. As He is, so are we in this world. And we are changed into the same image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, do you believe that? Do you honestly believe that from God's perspective, your destiny is to become an exact duplication of Jesus Christ Himself, not deified, but a duplication of that image? Do you believe that? That's heresy, Brother Martin. Man, you better watch out what you call heresy, because I think we just established the fact that God can't lie. If God can't lie, and we just read these things in Scripture. See, these are things that religion struggles with. And we know that. Quite frankly, some of you, before you ever... And I've taught along these lines before, brought some of these things out, these verses. But for some people, until they heard me share these things, they had never in their life been exposed to the potential of becoming an exact replication of Jesus Christ. Never. Even though they've been in this thing all their lives. That means all their lives they have been hearing something less than what God has wanted them to hear. Now, I'm not better than anybody else. All I'm doing is showing you what's been in this Bible. And it's been in that Bible ever since all those people that taught you all your life that you were in that thing. They had the same Bible and had access to the same information. So it's not like there's anything different about me. And it's not like God's shown me anything that He added that in the Bible just for me. You see what I'm saying? Didn't happen that way. But let's go back here. Do you honestly believe what we have just read in God's Word? That you have the potential to be changed from wherever you are now, that you can be changed into a replication of Jesus Christ. Remember what Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And then He talked about in John 17 about them being one in us being in them, you and me and you, them and us and them, and so forth. And as He is, so are we in this world. You see, it's 2 Corinthians 3:18 and 1 John 4:17, which is the guarantee that we are going to be able to do Mark chapter 16 and John chapter 14. Because as we are changed into that image, and as we are living as He is, so are we in this world. As we are living in that image, then we begin to do Mark 16, and we also begin to do John 14. We begin to fulfill all those things that He said there in Mark 16, and we also begin doing the works that He talked about there in John 14. You see what I'm saying? But what it comes down to is, do you really believe this? Do you really believe that this is possible? Well, let's look at another thing. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 27 says, "Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular." Do you understand that this is written to the body of Christ? If you are born again, that means you are in this. You understand that? So this is an all-inclusive statement for everyone who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Somebody could come along and say, "Yes, but Brother Martin, this was written to the Corinthian church." Oh, so in other words, 1 Corinthians 12:27 means only the Christians at Corinth were the body of Christ? Come on, guys. Think about your theology. This is written to the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church. The church, the body of Christ, same thing. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. This passage corresponds with Ephesians, turn over there, chapter 4. We're not going to teach on how it corresponds. We've taught about this in the past. But it corresponds to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, etc., and so forth. Now, if you are a Christian and you're a part of the body of Christ, or no, if you are a Christian, you are a part of the body of Christ. And if you're a part of the body of Christ, then you're one of those things in there. You are an apostle, or a prophet, or an evangelist, or a pastor, or a teacher, or helps, or governments. Are you with me? Now, see, there is no way to get around this. If you're in the body of Christ, you're identified in there. A lot of people say, oh, I just wish I knew what my ministry calling is. Oh, I just wish God would show me. Dear heart, He's already explained it to you right here in the body, right here in the Bible. He's already given you the categories, which means that He's narrowed it down greatly for your benefit. Now all you have to do is find out which one of those you are. So instead of having, 35 to choose from, like the Christian personality profile you filled out at the last church you attended, all you had to do was go to the Bible and God's already said, here it is! Forget about filling in all the little blanks and then adding up the numbers and finding out that you're called to the ministry of leaf blower. No, God has already put it in here. And all you have to do is say, all right, God, well, that's pretty simple. Here we have this little handful of categories. Now, which one of these am I? Do you understand if you go to God with 35, 40, 26, 18 different categories and ask Him which one you are, do you realize how hard you're making His job? Because first He's got to convince you that all but seven of those are relative. You with me? Then after He gets you convinced that the bunch of them don't mean hoot, and He gets you convinced that only the ones that He has mentioned in His Word are the ones you're supposed to concentrate on, then He can begin to show you. See, this stuff isn't that difficult if you just believe that God knows what He's talking about. Okay, now, if you're a Christian, you're a member of the body of Christ, you are one of those. But do you believe it? Do you believe it? Yes, Brother Martin, I believe it with all my heart. Hallelujah. And you've been in this thing how long? All my life. Which one are you? Which one are you? I mean, it shouldn't be that difficult. Which one are you? I don't know, Brother Martin. But you've been in this thing all your life. Somebody should have helped you by now. Why didn't they? Which one are you? I don't know, Brother Martin. Well, what are you going to do to find out? I don't know, Brother Martin. How long have you been in this thing? All my life. And you don't know how to find out? You don't know what you are, and you don't know how to find out what you are. Well, how are you going to find out how to find out? I don't know that either, Brother Martin. Sounds to me like you've been spinning your wheels all your life. Now, let's bring it home. Mark chapter 16. Cast out devils, lay hands on the sick. John chapter 14. Do the works of Jesus. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 3, and 1 John 4. Changed into the exact image of Jesus Christ Himself, and as He is, so are you in this world. Let's get personal. Kim, do you realize that you are called to be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, helps, and government? Mike, Do you believe, do you understand that you are called to be an exact representative of Jesus Christ and do His works? Wanda, do you understand that you are supposed to conform to the exact image of Jesus? Marlon, do you recognize that God is literally speaking to you out of His Word and telling you, you are an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher, helps, or governments? Do you understand? Now see, I can go through and begin naming every person in this room. And we're not going to take the time to do that, and I just use those people to illustrate. The problem is this, all too often we see these statements in Scripture as being vague concepts for the body of Christ, but we honestly do not believe they are for me. Because if you honestly believe they were for you, you would be doing what's necessary to become what God has said He expected. Now, let's look at something else. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're not going to go into great explanation. We're just going to read. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now turn over to Jude, Jude 20. Jude 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, let me ask you this question. Those verses that we just read, talking about the Holy Spirit and praying, tongues. Do you believe that? Yes, Brother Martin, I believe that too. Everything you said tonight, Brother Martin, this morning, I believe this. Honest, Brother Martin, I believe it. I do. I really do. Okay? Then are you an apostle or a prophet? Are you an evangelist, pastor, teacher, helps governments? Are you laying hands on the sick? Are they recovering? Are you casting out devils? Are you doing the works of Jesus? And remember how much of our life is reflecting what we say we believe. Remember that? Okay, now, here's the problem. We've gone through all of this, and probably everyone here, you believe it. You do believe it. You believe that that you're to conform, that you can conform. Not just that you're supposed to, but that you can conform to the image of Jesus Christ. And you do believe that as He is, so are you in this world. And you do believe that you can do over there, Mark 16, you can lay hands on the sea, you can cast out devils. And you do believe that you can do the works of Jesus. I mean, open the blind eyes and the lame to walk and raise the dead. And you do believe that when you pray in tongues, these things are going to happen. You do believe it. But you know what? In reality, you don't. Because if we truly believe it, now hang with me on this. If we truly believe it, all those things it talked about relative to praying in tongues and the change that it can bring about, the edification, those mysteries, the perfect will of God for your life, and all of God's perfect will working together in your life to produce God's perfect will in your life. All the edification, all of the, your spirit is praying, all the building yourself up on your most holy faith, all those things that it says it will do. If you really believe that, then wouldn't you be praying that way? Well, but Brother Martin, I am praying that way. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. Only you can answer that. But what I'm getting at is this. Most in the body of Christ, now we are immediately shelving all the people that don't believe much of anything about tongues and don't believe about praying in tongues or anything like that. We are only speaking to the people that truly believe in praying in tongues because they're the only ones that can grasp this and begin to act on it. Because if you don't believe you can do it, you're not going to do it. If I don't believe my car will start, I'm not going to get in and try and start it. You see what I'm saying? Okay, now, the Bible, given to us by God, who cannot lie, has declared to us what will happen when we pray in tongues. He has also told us what we can become and what we can do. He has also told us what our calling may be. If it's in those categories. So he's told us what our calling is, we just have to identify which one it is. However, most people in the body of Christ, the Christians who do believe about praying in the Spirit, most, honestly, all these things that we've covered today, you honestly don't believe it. And I'm going to tell you why. You see, for most Christians, most who believe in praying in the Spirit, and from this point on, unless I say otherwise, if I say most Christians, think in terms of most who believe in praying in tongues, okay, who believe you can do that. Most Christians have seen in their own life a constant repetition of that which never changes. Oh, I know you go to a different place today than what you went yesterday, but you know what I mean. The same old, same old. Get up, go to work, go home, fix dinner, feed the dog, whatever. Help the kid with the homework. I mean, whatever your life is and whatever your life is about, most Christians never see anything in that change. It is the same thing day in and day out. Day in and day out. Now, what happens in that routine is that you are constantly receiving a reinforcement to your thought process that nothing is changing and that nothing will change. You don't have to respond, but just think with me for a moment. How many of you, I mean within maybe the last few weeks or whatever, but I mean, how many of you have had the thought cross your mind, when's it going to change? The last year, how many of you have had go through your mind, when is all this stuff going to happen? How many of you had in your mind, it's not going to change. It's just the same old thing. What complicates this is the fact that maybe all of us in this room, at least for a short period of time or for all our life, have been exposed to the traditions and religion of man, and those religious traditions have imposed limitations on us, essentially telling us that you can only go so far in God. And even though they say, but you can go into great depths with God, they turn around and they essentially are telling us that you can only go so far with God. Because when the people in the churches are not reflecting the things that God has talked about, or else they actually begin to tell you that some of these things in God's Word aren't for today, what religion then is doing is building a brick wall around you, hemming you in and telling you that you won't be these things, and that you won't do Mark 16, and that you won't do John 14, and that you won't conform to the image, because after all, you're just you, and he's Jesus. He's up there, and you're down here. And because we witness failures in the lives of a lot of Christians, all these things begin to complicate themselves in our minds, and our thought process begins to focus on that stuff and what we see not happening. And then we get to the place, I'm telling you right now, and this is not a criticism, because what's going on, what I'm sharing with you today, this is a problem in the entire body of Christ. It's for everybody. There are some of you in here, you believe that you have a calling on your life, but you in no way, shape, or form can envision yourself being an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. Helps, governments. You don't see it. Because after all, you've got a job. So in other words, what you're saying is, that it is impossible for you to be one of those if you still have a secular job. That's what you're saying. But have you considered the possibility that God looks at it from a different perspective? That maybe He looks at it from the perspective of you can be those things in spite of the fact that you have a secular job, and or if you would begin pressing in the direction of becoming what I've said you can become, the day will arrive, I will direct you away from that secular job into what man calls full-time ministry. Have you considered that? Most people in the body of Christ cannot envision this kind of a thing happening for them. They honestly cannot envision themselves being an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, pastor, teacher, helps governments. They do not grasp what God's Word says. Now, God's Word says that we're the body of Christ and we are those things. And the Bible tells us that we have the potential to move into those things, but the only way that's going to happen is if we change on the inside. You have the ability to go from where you are to where He wants you to be. But if all you see is somebody who cleans the house and washes the car and feeds the dog and goes to the job and comes home and looks forward to having the weekends off so you can have some time to yourself and on and on. In other words, what you do is you create this own rut for your own life. And what it really comes down to is most Christians honestly, up here in their head, they believe everything that I've shared with you today. But down here in their heart, they honestly don't believe that they can become what God says they can become or that they can do what God says they can do. Because if you truly believe that, you would be engaging yourself in interaction with the Holy Spirit so the change could happen and you would be what God says you could be and you could do what God says you could do. Do you see what I'm saying? Most Christians honestly don't believe they can do the works of Jesus because they see Jesus as being somebody that is so untouchable, so unattainable, so unreachable. After all, He's seated in heaven with God. He is the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, and I am just me. I am not the equal to Jesus. But the Bible says you can be changed into the same image from glory to glory. But the Bible says, as He is, so are we in this world. So you're going to have to make a decision who you're going to believe. Are you going to believe what you have been trained to believe by man's religion, or are you going to make a decision that you're going to believe what God says? Listen, this isn't just, I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching to us. Because I have to confront these things in my own self. All it takes is people telling you can't be anything in life. All it takes is a mom or a dad criticizing you. All it takes is teachers telling you you're stupid, dumber than a rock, that they'd rather be teaching a rock than teaching you. All it takes is a husband who thinks you're a jerk or a wife who thinks you're a moron. All it takes is a constant exposure to nothingness to get you to believe nothingness. Included in this are the churches that will tell you if it's God's, now listen to me, if it's God's will, it will happen. Well, Brother Martin, of course if it's God's will, it will happen. No, it won't. Dear heart, I don't mean to break your theology, it won't. Because you can stop God's will in its process. Well, that's impossible, Brother Martin. Really? How many people does God want born again? So then how is it possible anybody is going to end up in hell? Burning in the lake of fire for how is that possible if it's God's will that none perish? That everybody come to know Jesus? How is it possible unless we as human beings have the ability to stop God's will in its process? See? You're called to be, every one of you in here, you are called to be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, helps governments. Every one of you in here. Every one of you. And you're going to have to, and this is just for people here, this is for the body of Christ. You have to come to the place of accepting, that's me. John 14:12, do the works of Jesus. You have got to come to the place of looking beyond your retirement income, of looking beyond your job, of looking beyond the kids, looking beyond the dog, of looking beyond all the things that have reinforced you're not, and start looking to what, because God is either, he either can't lie or he can. He either lies or he tells the truth. And if he tells the truth, then that means that you are John 14:12. Do the works of Jesus. It means that you are Mark 16, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, cast out devils. It means you are 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 3:18, conforming to the image. It means you are 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are you. And that means you are. And I don't care what you do for a job, it doesn't matter what your income is. What it means is that the moment you become born again, the moment that you enter into the kingdom of God is the moment you have the potential to do all of these things, regardless of what the churches you've attended in the past have told you. Regardless of how much failure has been reinforced in your life throughout the years, those things are irrelevant except for how they impact your thought process. And as long as you live your life believing with your head but not believing with your heart, then you're not going to do what's necessary to bring about the change. But Brother Martin, I would like to inform you of something, please. I have a life to live. I have responsibilities. I have a job. Unlike you, I have things to do. Okay? Let's work with that. Yeah, you do. But how many of you have heard the stories I've talked about when I worked back at, and when I worked back at, and when I worked back at, and when I worked over at? You understand that I punched the clock? You understand that I had things to do? I had to feed the dog till he died. Of course, that wasn't the purpose of feeding him. The purpose of feeding him was to keep him around. He just got old and died. That I was involved in raising a child? I mean, where do you want to go with this argument? No, wait. Where do you want to go with these excuses?
But I can't give the Lord 8 hours a day in prayer.
And you found that where? In the Word? Where in the Bible does it tell you have to give Him 8 hours a day? Where in the Bible does it tell you have to give Him 6, 4, 3, 2, 1? Of course, I guess we could make an argument for the one. Could you not tarry with me for an hour? Okay. You see what I'm saying? See, if you honestly believed that you could break out of the rut you're in and become what He says you can become, you would give Him the 15 minutes that you do have. You would give the 30 minutes, the 2 hours. You would do it. I mean, if you honestly believe that the stuff that's going on would change, if you honestly believe that, you acknowledge it with your head. All those things I read earlier, all the what you can do and what you can become, you all said, amen, Brother Martin. Yes. Why, I believe that. But it's a head belief. It's not a heart belief. And see, I have to ask myself these questions. How much do I really believe these things? You know, there are times when I begin to think beyond the box as far as ministry is concerned. And I'll be honest with you guys, it's impossible in the natural. It can't happen in the natural. It has to be a God thing or it'll be a no thing. And the only way it can be a God thing is if I start doing what will work to bring about the change. I can tell you right now, the only reason I am here now today is because, primarily, because I prayed in the Spirit. And I can tell you right now, the only reason I'll be where God wants me to be a year from now is if I keep doing this. But see, it's not just me. Here's a problem, another problem. Because I'm here and people sit there, there is sometimes this tendency for people to look at me or, you know, any other pastor or whatever and see them as being different. Well, you've got God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then you've got the pastor. Then you just got, you know, the rest of us. Please. There may be ministers out there who want to try and give that impression, but the only reason I'm up here is because this is what I'm called to do. And for some of you, you may be called to be in the same position, just in a different building somewhere. But the thing is, if you don't do what's going to bring about the change, then it won't happen. Now, Brother Martin, I'm going to just tell you this. I don't want to. I don't want to. What do you mean you don't want to? I don't want to. I like cutting my grass and feeding the dog. I like repairing the fabric on the couch where the cat has scratched it up. These are a few of my favorite things. I like going shopping. I like having stuff. I like eating out. These are a few of my favorite things. And nobody else likes that? You know what you're telling me? Seriously. Please don't get upset with me. What you're telling me is that you really don't believe that you are an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, helps governments. You really don't believe that you can do Mark 16. You really don't believe you can do John 14. You really don't. You really don't believe 2 Corinthians 3:18, conforming to His image. You really don't believe that as He is, so are you. You really don't. In your head you do, but in your heart, the part that governs you, the part that's supposed to lead you and so forth, you really haven't come to the place of fully accepting that. Let me ask you a question. You don't have to respond, just think, meditate. You ever had a sick family member and you wanted to see them get healed? Okay, why did they not get healed? I mean, after all, remember, you believe Mark 16, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And you believe John 14, you can do the works of Jesus. So why didn't they get healed? Because you know doggone well, Jesus walked in that room and said, excuse me, you'd move out of the way, He'd lay hands, up they get. So why did it happen for you? Better yet, how many of you have backed off when it's come to laying hands on somebody to pray for healing? It's because you don't believe it'll happen. That's why. You think, if Jesus had had the same mindset that most people in the body of Christ have, we wouldn't have those testimonies. He'd have prayed like most other people. Oh God, we beseech Thee, Father, move on the fevered brow of Peter's mother-in-law. Healer, if you will, O great God in heaven. Although Peter has his wonders and doubts about whether he wants her to be healed. Hallelujah, Jesus, Alan. You see what I mean? That's because Jesus had a confidence that He was the Son of God. And does not the Bible say when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior that we become the sons of God? He believed it. Jesus believed that when He ministered to people, healing would be there. Jesus believed His mission. He believed His call. He believed all of those things. Same thing with the Apostle Paul. Same thing with Peter. See, these guys believed it. And that's what separates people in the Bible and the handful of Christians in the world. That's what separates them from the majority of the rest of the believers. It's because it's gotten past their head into their heart. What I'm saying to you today is this. You either believe it or you don't. And again, please, don't misunderstand. I'm not trying to be condescending. What I'm doing is I'm identifying a problem in the body of Christ and why so many people aren't becoming what God said they could become and why they're not doing what the Bible says we can do. It's because we believe it in our head, but we have allowed our life circumstances and religious teachings from our past to convince us it is true, but not for me. Because if you truly believed that you had the potential to raise the dead and open the blind eyes and to become the apostle or the prophet or whatever it is that God says, whatever it is you're called to do, if you truly believe that, then you would, I don't care how old you are. I don't care, you know, you may be 80, you may be 18, doesn't matter. If you truly believe this with your heart, instead of acknowledging it as being a truth in your mind, truly believed it, you'd be doing these things. Even though I don't feel like it, come on guys, get a clue. You think I always feel like it? Seriously. You think all the mighty warriors of the Lord throughout history have always felt like it? Paul talked about that. Look it up in the Bible. Look at the things that he wrote about. Paul talked about all the junk he went through. Oh yes, mighty Paul. He talked about, I pray in tongues more than y'all. Oh yes, mighty Paul. But then he also made the statement that I keep my flesh, I keep my body under. In other words, what he was saying is, I face the same struggles to not do these things that everybody else does. I face the same temptations everybody else does. I can guarantee you there were times where Paul's body was weak, it was tired, and he just did not feel like praying, did not feel like worshiping, did not feel like sitting down and hearing anything from God. I ain't writing another letter. Do you hear me? No more letters to anybody. Let them get their own revelation. But he said, that's my emotions, that's the flesh. And he said, I keep it under. He didn't say, God keeps it under.
Well, I'll pray when the Lord moves on me.
No, you won't. He's moving on you every day. Even Paul fought the I don't want to's. But he kept his flesh under. And that phrase, that statement in the Greek, literally means, I fought tooth and nail to maintain control over my emotions and my body. Think of professional wrestling. Body slams, headlocks, elbows in the eye. That was the war Paul fought to keep his body under so that he could pray in tongues more than you all. He was no different. No different than anybody else. And so even in the midst of the I don't feel like it, if you come to believe that you can do and can become, then you will fight against the I don't feels and you're going to do it. But the challenge right now is not to fight the I don't feels. The challenge is to come to the place of believing that you can do Mark 16, John 14, 2 Corinthians 3:18, 1 John 4:17, and that you can become 1 Corinthians 12:27 and 28, and Ephesians 4:11 and 12. That is the challenge, to get it past the head and into the heart. If nothing else, accept it by faith, simply because God said so. Go to Him and say, God, you know, it's fess up time. I believe it, but I don't. I can't imagine myself being an apostle. I can't imagine me being this thing, that thing. I'm sorry, God, you know, laying hands, and I'm just, it's like I, in my head, yeah, okay. But in reality, I have to tell you, God, I've got some doubts. I've really got some questions about some of these things, because I've seen my life, I know the rut I'm in, I know my day-to-day experiences. But, because I choose to believe that you cannot lie, that means these things have to be true. Not just a truth, but true for me. So, here's what I'm going to do. Don't feel like it? Don't want to? Thank God. You know what's going on inside me? I have no inclination to want to. But, because I choose to believe you, I'm going to start praying in the Spirit. And I'm going to start doing this. Because you said change will come, therefore I believe the change will come. Even though I don't believe the change will come. In other words, God, I'm going to put on the blindfold, I'm going to take a step of faith and see what happens. It's like God says, hallelujah. That's all it takes. Because whatever it is in you that doesn't believe, if you will just give yourself over to prayer, it will start to believe. Is the process overnight? No. How many of you, however tall you are, how long did it take you to get from, like, you know, 18 inches and 6 pounds 4 ounces to what you are right now? You with me? In other words, it's a process. It's a process. You know what? There are a lot of people that I know who would have a difficult time in this church, not because of what is preached or taught, but because of me. You know why? It's because they knew me back when. And they would have a hard time separating the back when from the here and now. There are people out there right now that I know are looking for churches, and they know I'm here at this church pastoring, but they won't come because they still believe I'm the unchanged person that I used to be. And even some who have heard me hear with their ears but don't believe with their heart what God has done in me. You think I could do this by myself? No way. It's all because I chose to accept something I had a hard time believing and started doing what He said to do, trusting that He was telling me the truth so that I could change into what He wants me to be. And I am no different than anybody else in this room, anybody else hearing this tape. I am no different than anybody. It's the same for us all. Challenge yourself. Do you really believe all those verses we've read that you can become what He said you can become and that you can do what He said you can do? Do you really believe it beyond your head? And if you do, then force yourself, keep your body under, force yourself to do what will bring about the change, accepting that the change will come. And then you're going to start moving into the doing and the being that God has declared in His Word. Praise God. Praise God. Not by your works, but by His work in you to bring about the change. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that I don't have to do it. I'm so glad that He's the one that does it in me. I'm so glad that it's all because I just participate with Him and then turn Him loose. And change begins to happen. Praise God. Praise God. 80 years old, 18 years old is irrelevant. Start now. Do it. Accept it. And become everything He said. Praise the Lord. Makes me want to go pray. Hallelujah. So go ahead and stand.